views and opinions expressed in the following podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the DVM Production Empire. That's how you know it's good.
You're listening to the DVM Production Empire. Back with content, millions of downloads, taking the world by force. Join the Empire today at DVMPE.com.
Groovy.
Hey, True Believers, it's David Hickney. I'm here with Roger, Freak of the Week. This week, we're talking about the Hibernator. We're joined this week by Dr. Samantha Baggington. Did I say that right?
Yes, that's totally right.
Oh, good. Good. So you're a doctor?
I am.
What are you a doctor of?
I have, I went back to school. It's kind of one of those things that once you're immersed in academia, you kind of can't stop getting degrees. So let's basically say that I have a doctor in all things animal and all things mineral.
All things animal and all things mineral.
Yes. Actually, I spent a number of years trying to pursue archaeology and geology. I just think it's so interesting how we like build up our lives on top of things and we don't even examine what they are. It's so cool.
Right. So have you studied all things vegetable as well, or just...
That's next. I was kind of waiting until retirement. I love agriculture as well, but I figured because we see so much science currently in agriculture that maybe I would start once we get to the point that we now have to do other things to our soil, where we have to really look at the future of what we grow. And that's where I want to get into. So once the science is there, I think that's the next degree I'm going to get.
Right. Okay. Sure. And where do you have your degrees from?
Well, pretty much all over. I technically have a degree from Oxford. I technically have a degree from Yale, Harvard, Stanford, and also Brown. I went to Columbia for a little bit when I was going through my art phase. And currently I'm doing my residency at a hospital in Chicago. It's a lot. I have just really anywhere in the world I want to touch.
So I gotta ask, because like, I know it's not normally polite to ask this, but you have all these degrees from all these different places.
Yes.
How old are you?
Well, I am currently 57 years old.
I would not have guessed that.
Most people don't. It is because I have learned a lot about disease prevention, about disease control, about how to use our environment to make our lives better. It is really exciting, which is why I'm excited about agriculture kind of coming into my twilight years and maybe be able to expand the lives of the people around me using the things that the earth is giving us.
Right. Okay, so we're here to talk about a specific thing, though.
Yes.
The Hibernator.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about the Hibernator?
Absolutely. So what we originally believed in the Hibernator was that it is a type of animal. We believed originally that this animal, would breed with another Hibernator and create more Hibernators.
Right.
What we have found is that it's actually a disease. We do not know a cure yet, but we do know that it starts in humans.
Okay.
The disease will continue to take over the human's life. What's super interesting is that it can lay dormant for years. Hmm. So you may be infected and you may not know. It really is part of your environment. If you have this virus and then you are put into an environment where this virus can really blossom, you can become a hibernator. It's very interesting stuff.
So these are people that have turned into hibernators because of a virus.
Yes. And now since there is no cure, they are classified now as hibernators. They do not anymore have the Homo sapien.
So they've become, they've transformed into a new species.
They have, essentially. Okay. Because once we started studying the hibernator, we found that the DNA had actually changed. That we no longer saw some of the same markers that the human had before he or she became the hibernator.
All right. So is there a way to know this before the disease actually takes over? Is there a way to prevent this?
So we're currently looking at testing. We want to see if a virus is the only key plus environment that causes the mm-hmm. hibernator. What we're thinking might be available after a few more years of study is possibly a vaccine. We're not sure if it's going to be something that we can vaccinate against or if it's something that is built from hereditary, you know, hereditarily.
Right.
So it might be, you know, similar to Alzheimer's, where you can be prone to the disease first,
okay,
and then you are likely to contract it.
That sounds scary.
Oh, it's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying.
So, what happens if you come down with this? I mean, what happens if you become a hibernator?
So we see that the hibernator tends to be more indoors. We don't see a lot of outside activity from the hibernator. It's also, we see very cold climates is where they are found.
Okay.
So in areas where the climate can change dramatically, like they have a solid summer, they have a solid winter, we will see a hibernator migrate from a climate that is becoming warmer to a climate that is becoming colder.
Okay, so there's migration.
There can be. What we've noticed is because they are not outdoor creatures, we don't get to see that migration. Like, we don't get to see it like how geese do it. You know, geese are in the air.
Yeah.
Like, they are flying like a V, right? Hibernators don't fly like these.
They don't go through a V.
They don't go through a V.
Right.
They do not fly. What we do see is that all of a sudden there will be a large number of heat markers in colder areas of the world. And it's been determined because of other signs such as increased internet usage, a number of Netflix accounts streaming all at once using one singular password.
Okay.
We see a number of blankets. We will see you know, those really fuzzy blankets, like the super soft ones that have like the extra like inch of hair on them.
Right.
What you may see around the hive of hibernators are these blankets that have been worn down to near nubs. Nub blankets. It is super interesting.
You mentioned hives. Are they like a pack animal then, or?
That is also what's so interesting. By nature, they are not part of a pack. However, because of environment, they end up becoming a group. So they may not even know that the other is there. They are very solitary creatures. But by nature and by environment, they end up being grouped together. Mm. It's so interesting.
That is actually very interesting. I don't normally do this because I usually have to yell at somebody when they decide to talk soon. Sooner than later. And
oh my gosh, are you bringing on Dr. Elizabeth Marin?
Wait, you...
Are you bringing on Dr. Elizabeth Marin?
Are you...
I am such a fan. She is the whole reason I did this show. I think she is just so brilliant. The fact that I have this many degrees is wholly because of her. She has been such an inspiration. I can't even tell you. I mean, I didn't even start getting these degrees until I was 35. I cannot tell you how interesting and how exciting it is that I get to be in a conversation with Dr. Elizabeth Marin. She's a god.
Roger, can you go get me a beer, please? Thank you, Roger. Well, Elizabeth Marin, you've heard a very lucid argument about this. I don't know how you're going to be able to poo-poo on this one.
I'm actually, first of all, thank you so much, Dr. Baggington. I I can't.
Please, you can call me Sam. That is totally okay.
I can't say enough how much I appreciate your compliments. How nice it is to meet a fan. I don't get to do that very often, and I definitely appreciate meeting you and the fact that you are here and speaking eloquently and intelligently. And
thank you.
You actually sound like you're just very different than our typical experts that we have on, and I very much appreciate that.
It's amazing to hear you say. I can't tell you how much your work has inspired some of the things that I do. I've read almost everything you've written.
Oh, wow.
It's just when you took the world of animalology and the world of entomology your degrees have furthered so much of the things that I wanted to study. It's like meeting a hero. I just can't even, I'm so excited right now.
Can we talk about the hibernator, though? I mean, that's what we're here for,
We can talk about the hibernator. I'm fascinated at the amount of research that you've actually done on this. I know that I didn't really think that this was necessarily a mythical creature that existed, but I know that all of these traits can definitely be found in a person that has
their DNA changes, though.
That has a seasonal depression disorder.
What's that?
Seasonal depression disorder. It's what happens to human beings when they do not experience enough sunlight and they start lacking vitamin D.
It's not expressly because of the vitamin D. It has been traced, though, to sunlight because there is not enough daylight hours.
Exactly.
We find that people start suffering from depression because they're not able to get out and see the light the same way.
Right.
So it's not exactly with the vitamin D. I mean, Dr. Elizabeth Marin knows much more about the subject than I do, obviously. She is very interesting. But it can just be about the actual time of day and how it shifts. And that scheduling shift can cause a lot of turmoil inside of a human being.
But virus DNA change.
I am curious. First of all, our primary source of vitamin D is from sunlight.
Yes.
That is the only place that human beings can actually get an adequate amount, aside from supplements. It's the one supplement that I would highly recommend. Everyone should be taking their vitamin D at least 10,000 international units every day in the wintertime.
You know, it's funny that you say 10,000 international units.
It sounds like a lot, but it's not.
It does, because I find that so many people take supplements when they don't actually need as much as the supplement is providing. For example, I saw this Centrum Silver commercial that was talking about 2,000% of my daily need of magnesium. No one needs 2,000% of magnesium. Your body can handle 100% of your need for magnesium. Any more and your body is going to slough that off. So I completely agree with you, Dr. Marin. You are so incredibly interesting. I would say, however, that a supplement for vitamin D or vitamin C or potassium, really anything that you're looking for your body, can be taken up to 100%. After that, you're really not doing your body any more good.
Roger, how's that beer coming, Roger? So we keep going around this. Elizabeth, do you believe that people have this virus in them and it changes their DNA and turns them into a different species?
I don't necessarily believe that it changes people into a different species. I definitely think that it can change people's personalities drastically. It can change different levels of hormones in our body if we're not getting the adequate amounts of vitamin D.
But we're talking about a virus here that turns people into the hibernator.
Don't believe that is a thing that exists.
Aha!
And that's totally fair. Dr. Marin has a scientific mind. She knows that we have to see something, ask questions, create the experiment after creating a very thought out hypothesis. And then even after that, have an experiment that we can continue to replicate to make sure that our results are accurate. She is totally so interesting, and it makes total sense that she believes this. However, being a doctor myself with so many degrees, I will say this. We did conduct those experiments. And I think the easiest way to explain it to somebody who's maybe not as educated on this subject is thinking about it kind of like zombieism. Now we've
seen
that.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. You believe that zombieism exists?
No, but I do think that it is an easy way
just to relate.
Okay. So with zombieism, we see a human being turned into a different species while maintaining a lot of the characteristics of the original human being. However, biologically, they're no longer part of the human species. And that's what we're seeing here, is that very subtle things in the DNA have changed. And that's what's causing this hibernator. It's not just seasonal affective disorder and having a bad mood. It is that they will never be able to get out of this state of being a different species altogether. Very interesting stuff.
Forget the beer, Roger. Just get the Johnny Walker. All right, I think we're going to take a break, hear from a sponsor, and then we'll be back, I guess. Thanks.
Freak of the Week is sponsored by Rogers Landmines, the most sensitive landmines you can find. Hair trigger is an understatement with Rogers Landmines, not affiliated with mantises.
Hey everyone, this is Nick Mataragas from Surreal. I just wanted to kind of give you a little bit of a taste of all the things I've had to tolerate while recording this season, so that you know what I went through to give you this new season of Surreal, which comes out September 21st. Thanks.
Her name is Pumpernickel or Pumper whatever.
Pumpernickel, yeah.
We called her Pumpernickel because her face looked like a friggin' piece of pumpernickel. She was not an attractive girl.
Okay. Did that make you uncomfortable?
At first, yes. But then I realized that I wasn't an American pussy. And I was fine with it.
So you think it was just like an unwritten understanding?
I am not aware.
Of your own thoughts?
At this time, no. I'm not aware of my own thoughts.
I like to name my sponges.
I feel like I should take the Third Amendment on this because...
Do you mean the Fifth?
I think we've had quite enough insertions for the day, quite frankly.
Agreed.
And we're back with Dr. Samantha Baggington and and Elizabeth Marin talking about the Hibernator.
I still can't believe I'm here with her. She is just so, so amazing.
All right. We're going to take a call because I need to hear another voice at this point. Caller, what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Jim, and I'm from South Dakota.
Jim from South Dakota, and you have an experience with a Hibernator?
Actually, I'm calling because I may, in fact, be a Hibernator.
Oh,
gosh, okay.
Okay. Yes. Can you explain your situation to us, Jim?
Yes. Well, I used to live in southern Florida, and my girlfriend broke up with me, and I decided to move here to South Dakota, and I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, but I think it's a little bit more than that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
So Jim, I just want to ask you a couple of quick questions. Can you stay on the line for
me? Can you slow it down a little
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, I can.
Thank you, yeah.
Jim, during the day, how often are you awake?
Seldomly.
Okay.
Except for, you know, going to the bathroom and
Are you still using a common toilet?
A common toilet? Yeah, I use my toilet. I live alone. I don't see many people. I work as support staff on a chat form at night, so I don't leave the house ever.
Okay.
And I just, you know, and sometimes I even go to sleep while I'm waiting for people to contact me.
So the chat work that you do,
it's intense.
How many hours a week are you putting into that job?
Like, actually, like, working, or do you mean, like,
you, have a
you know, that I, like, put down that I work?
Log in. log out?
Oh, log in, log out. It's about 15 hours a week, I would say.
Okay.
I can't, and I use, it's, oh,
well,
sorry,
Jim. If you're still listening, I'm going to talk quickly, but you can always record this and slow it back down for you, okay? So here's the thing. I don't believe that you are either currently or are becoming the Hibernator that we know it to be. Now, it does sound like you have some issues with depression. It does sound like you have some medical issues that are causing your whole body to shut down. Little bit different. The Hibernator does not maintain a job. The Hibernator does not maintain accurate toilet use. Usually in a Hibernator hive, we will see, well, an abandoned Hibernator hive. I've yet to be able to get into one as a Hibernator is in it. But we tend to see poop buckets. We tend to see a large amount of food wrappers around. There aren't jobs. There aren't things like this. The fact that you were able to pick up the phone and call makes me believe that you are not the Hibernator. You don't have to worry about that yet. But see a physician. Dr. Marin, I'm sure you have something to say about this. I'm so excited.
I agree with many of the things that you just said. I believe that you should definitely see a physician. You should probably try a little bit of therapy. I think you might have, obviously, some depression from the loss of your girlfriend. I would have been curious to see why you chose South Dakota to move to from Florida. Seems like a very drastic move.
I think the girlfriend was the key factor there.
Right. But why South Dakota, though? That's just, I don't know why. It's just curious to me.
Some people get weird jobs. I mean, you know, you've been everywhere. That's you've studied everywhere, but, too.
We're missing the biggest point here. Poop buckets.
Yes.
So are you saying that those that have become Hibernators also become vagrants? It sounds like you're describing squatters.
I think...
That's not a play on words, just the people that live in abandoned buildings called squatting.
Oh my gosh, I see what you did there. You are so funny, Dr. Marin. Oh my gosh.
What is going on right
so
now?
So are you saying that, like, are all squatters Hibernators? Are all Hibernators squatters? Are they two different?
They're absolutely two different things. Okay. First and foremost, squatters are human. Okay.
Yes.
And the Hibernators aren't human.
Right.
Now, I want you to kind of think about what would happen if your dog was left alone in a closed off room? Think that way. That's what we tend to see with Hibernator hives. So even a dog, right, which we can all agree is an animal, right, non-human, a dog will find one corner to continually relieve itself. What we find in Hibernators is that the idea that they once used a toilet is kind of there. So there's generally some sort of container, a bucket, a large bowl, a grocery store bag. Do you remember when planters used to have those cheese puff balls?
Yeah, those things were awesome.
Those canisters. A number of different ways that they can contain their waste, similar to any animal.
So it's a sense memory, though, like the idea of, I used to sit on something to poop, so that's what I'm doing.
Yes. It's basically as though they have evolved from humanity at an incredibly rapid rate.
Okay.
That this part of their DNA stays true.
So how do you think about that, Elizabeth Marin?
I'm just fascinated by this whole thing. I just want to keep listening to Samantha, honestly.
Wait, what?
I'm
you're
taking
not,
notes.
Like, you get so angry at all of the other experts.
I'm taking notes. I'm developing a hypothesis as we go along here. But right now,
God.
I'm just sort of absorbing.
True believer, she's developing a hypothesis. This is not good, true believer.
No, this is great. This is so interesting.
Oh, God, help us all. I'm going to take another caller.
Yes. Samantha, would you like to push the button?
Oh, my gosh, I would love to push. Oh, my gosh, can I push the button?
What?
Push the button.
Oh, my gosh, is it this?
It's right here,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes,
what's your name and where are you from, caller?
I'm Skosmas Erasmodale from Paris, Texas. And Hickney? I've been listening to your, is this your show anymore?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? Is this your show? Because all I hear is I'm hearing these women folk yapping. It's like, when are you going to put the foot down on this?
It is my show, me and Roger's show.
I ain't heard Roger all show, man.
Roger went, don't correct my grammar, Elizabeth Marin. Roger went and got me some whiskey because I needed some. You being from Texas, you should know the importance of whiskey. B, it doesn't matter if they're women or not. That's not the point. Don't be some stupid redneck yokel and yell at me about that shit.
Oh, man. I swear to God, you're one of them incel types, ain't you?
What types?
Yeah, you know, incels. You hear about them?
Incel.
Involuntary celibate.
I have a wife, sir.
Oh, yeah. Sure you do. Right.
I'm so sorry. Caller, what was your first name again?
It's Cosmos.
Cosmos. Okay.
Skosmos.
Skosmos. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for repeating it, because it was not, I was so unfamiliar with this name. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's what a family name.
Is it from where?
Yes. It's from Texas.
It's from Texas. Yes. So is your whole family from Texas?
As far as we know.
Okay. So how far back can you see, your lineage in Texas?
Well, we go back to, you know, we had that Ancestry, .com thing done.
Mm-hmm.
We go back into the early, early 1960s.
Wait, oh. you did a DNA test?
Well, yeah.
And you're calling me to give me shit? You put your DNA out there, you let people know about, you're insane.
Why don't you listen to your sister who's a scientist?
I am a scientist.
Yeah. Well, you're a scientist who can't seem to keep your women folk in line.
Real quick.
I'm very confused as to how he's both insulting and sticking up for us simultaneously.
I think I know
like your
that.
Voice.
Okay. Oh, God.
Scott. Can I just call you Scott? Skosmos?
Well,
Skosmos.
If you insist, pretty lady.
Okay. Well, first of all.
Oh, God.
I am concerned that he can see how beautiful I am, because I thought he was calling in.
He is calling in.
Well, okay. I just call everybody with a beautiful voice, pretty lady.
Well, thank you.
Also, your photo comes up when we Google your name.
Oh, interesting. Okay, fair enough. See, sometimes the scientist needs more school. Okay, so here's my question for you, and you can see your lineage through the 1960s in Texas. Now, past that, do you have any idea where your heritage is from?
Past that?
Before 1960.
Oh, amoebas. Before, I thought you meant amoebas. Like the 1970s or 1980s. No.
Oh, my apologies.
Before that, no, we don't know about that. It's complete mystery.
Amoebas. Okay.
There's no one in
you
your
come
family
from
that's
amoebas.
Still alive that remembers earlier than the 1960s?
Well, the thing is that we've always lived in Twister territory.
Okay.
And our family has been through a number of Twisters over the years. And in fact, quite frankly, I don't even know if my parents are my parents.
Gotcha.
It's a sad, sad thing.
David,
yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt. I know we're talking about hibernators today.
Yeah.
But I think you have a troll on the line.
Yeah, no, I think he's an actual troll.
Yeah,
yes.
From the things that he's saying about no history before 1960, the Texas upbringing, I think that you have a genuine troll on
the line.
Have
you lived under a bridge at any point in your life?
Well, yeah, when the Twister done take it away, that's where we spend most of our time, actually.
Have you fought any brothers that were goats?
Well, yeah, they were very gruff. And we do all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it turns out I'm 3'2", and I'm hairy from the nape of my head all the way down to the nape of my feet.
Elizabeth, what do you have to say about this? We have an actual troll on the phone.
Trolls don't exist.
We have one on the phone.
All right, now, Missy, I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I'm afraid I'm as real as a sunset over Amarillo.
Yeah, what he said.
First to be fair, though, there are sunsets almost everywhere.
Well,
point
taken, beautiful.
And underneath a bridge or underneath an overpass is an excellent place to take shelter from a tornado or twister, as you like to call them.
Yeah.
What about the goats?
The goats? I mean, I've met plenty of men in my life that do definitely resemble a goat. David, you resembled a goat when you were a child. You screamed a lot. You had a beard at age 12. It was very strange.
What about the fact that he's got hair from the nape of his neck to the nape of his feet?
Yeah. Just about every nape I've got is just hairy.
Nape to nape.
I was just, in fact, they used to call me Little Hairy Nape when I was I was young and Little Hairy Nape.
That's adorable. See, what I think is so interesting is listening and watching Dr. Marin just break everything down, right? Like a good scientist would. Now, normally what I would do is start with what we believe to be true, mm-hmm. that you have a troll on the line.
Right.
And start experimenting from there. Elizabeth goes from a whole different side where she says, this is what is believed. Let me show you how that's inaccurate. Such an interesting way to go about experimentation.
I mean, I'm just so fascinated. You call it interesting, I call it annoying as hell.
I gotta say, I like the way you beautiful women talk on the show. I think you should take it away from this weak sauce of a man.
I do, I was just gonna backtrack just a tiny bit to comment on the hair and the multiple napes, which I'm still not sure what a nape of the foot is.
It's where the foot is. It's got that.
Usually
thing.
People just say head to toe, but you know, napes are fun.
Well, but you're not from.
But I do.
He's also not people. He's a troll.
Right.
But I do believe it's possible that you, as far as your stature and whatnot, he could very well simply be a human person suffering from both dwarfism and hypertrichosis, which is.
Now there's no reason for you to start getting insulting, young lady.
But it's excessive hair growth. It is a real disease. It exists. Many people have
it. I am not a disease.
I
am.
Say that you were a disease.
Hold on.
We are not our condition.
You believe this guy has a disease, but you don't believe that people get a virus and turn into hibernators.
I don't believe that hibernation is a virus.
Not hibernation, hibernator.
There's a distinction. People can, in fact, get a virus, which would make them ill, and I think would actually make them exhibit a lot of the same symptoms as a hibernator. I mean, when you don't feel well, you do have a tendency to just snuggle up in a warm, fuzzy place and watch TV and eat lots of soup. I think we've all been there.
There was no talk of soup before this.
Well, maybe I'm a little bit hungry. I'm sorry. I skipped lunch to come do this podcast. But I don't think that the hibernators necessarily have a virus. I just think that if you do have a virus, such as maybe the flu, you might exhibit a lot of the same symptoms.
I completely understand where Dr. Marin is coming from. It's so interesting. However, what she's talking about is a lot of temporary situations. When you have the flu, your body can naturally overcome it. We're looking at something more like, just for the sake of argument, like a pneumonia, when untreated becomes part of one's death, potentially.
So you don't think that anyone could get past, obviously people with low immune systems have a lot of issues with pneumonia, mm-hmm. the elderly, small children, mm-hmm. people like that, but you don't think anyone can overcome pneumonia? I mean, it's without... It can kill you, but you can also fight it off.
So your body can do a lot of things to fight off pneumonia, but treatment is also something that can prevent death. I mean, because we're your scientists, we don't want to harm people. We want to do things that grow our community. So obviously we're not going to give someone pneumonia and see how long it takes to die.
Of course
not. All we have are the cases of people dying of pneumonia who went untreated.
Don't we know of government cases where people did, where they did give people pneumonia to see how long it took them to die?
I'm just saying that people also have caught pneumonia and survived without treatment. I'm not saying that we should, no, absolutely not.
Do you have the cases?
Do you have cases? Bring on the cases, Elizabeth Marin.
I would love to read anything that you've read.
I'll give it to you after the show.
Okay, if you could cite those cases, I would love to see. Caller, I do have a...
I could listen to you beautiful women talk all day. I swear to God. In fact, I think you should bury Hickney under the ground.
Okay,
this point,
you're done.
Frankly.
You're bye. Roger, you know what? Never mind. Put the Johnny Walker away. Get the mushrooms. I'm just not happy. Okay, we're gonna take one more break, and then when we get back, we'll hear some more callers, hopefully, that want to talk about the hibernator and our less insulting dicks. See you in a minute.
Freak of the Week is sponsored by Lyft Munch. Move over, Uber Eats. Why eat out when Lyft can munch for you? Lyft Munch.
Greetings, Earther scum.
Hey, friend. Don't despair.
No need to slit any throats yet.
Do you find that you're suffering from a lack of insanity? A lack of hilarity?
I've got a solution for you.
It's perfectly natural.
It's Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden.
You aren't gonna like it.
What is it?
It's a new sketch comedy podcast from Memorial Development and the DVMPE.
I came up with these shitty names.
Everyone is so damn sensitive these days.
What can you expect out of Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden?
Been known to dissolve teeth on contact.
Goddamn gross is what it is.
Well, this sucks.
Ah, applesauce.
That's what this stuff is.
Really makes people uncomfortable.
I like it.
Keep going.
Mr. Wiggly will make you say,
don't fuck them.
In front of Grandma. Oh, God, no. I'm not a monster.
They are getting violent.
Oh, God, really? Okay, wrap it up.
I'm not cleaning that up again.
All right, True Believers, thanks for listening to the sponsors. We're back. I've, you know, had a mushroom. Hopefully that'll help. Thank you, Roger, for that. You're a good friend. We're talking about the Hibernator, I guess. Dr. Baggington, how do you recognize these? Like, if you were to encounter one in person, how do you recognize one?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's just so interesting that we don't normally see them in person. We normally think about how you know a snake has been there, right? You see a snake track. You see a trail. You may even see shedded skin.
Right.
That's what we're seeing with the Hibernator. Only upon their death are we able to examine them and see the changes in DNA, changes in bone structure, change in basic parts of anatomy. It is incredibly interesting.
So you've done like necropsies on these?
Absolutely. What kind of scientist would I be if I did not follow through with necropsies?
That's a fair point. So Elizabeth, how do you defend your point of view if she's done necropsies on actual hibernators?
You've done necropsies on
yes,
actual...
because they're not human beings, so they're not autopsies.
I know
autopsies.
What a necropsy is.
Yes.
It's what you call an autopsy on an animal.
Yes.
I'm aware. I'm fascinated, and I would actually, while I look up all of the pneumonia studies, yes, I would love to see your actual DNA studies on these.
I have brought them hoping that you would ask that.
Yes!
I am so excited.
Yes!
I didn't want to be presumptuous and assume that you would read something that I wrote. And so I brought it just in case. Maybe you had some time because I would love your notes. Here's the case study.
DNA obviously, evidence. DNA evidence of a thing, Elizabeth.
It's obviously, it's a lot of reading, but there's kind of two sum up pages, right? Obviously the opening is about 17 pages, and that really gives the summary of the whole study that we did. And then if you want to go about midway through, that's where I put in all of the exhibits, along with some photographic factual evidence. And that way you can kind of see some of the things that I got to see. Okay. So if you want to skip to either of those, if you have some time, I mean, I would love for you to read the whole thing because I think that would just be, I mean, so interesting and amazing, but, you know, whatever you have time for.
I'm definitely fascinated by this 1,800-page portfolio.
All of that evidence, all of that proof.
You just handed me, I would really like to take my time with it.
Sure.
I definitely don't want to just skim it.
No,
we put so much thought into it.
We could exchange emails if you wanted to.
We could. If you give me a couple weeks, I'd be happy to study this thoroughly.
That would be great. That would be so. That would be so much. Oh my gosh.
What do you say to the fact that there's factual evidence in front of you about these?
I think that there are 1,800 pages
of factual evidence
in front of me that I would like to read through.
Such a cop out. Such a cop out.
Okay, any scientist is going to be able to read a report in a couple of weeks and probably even a second time, you know, to make sure that they understand what's in the report. So I completely understand. She cannot make any scientific, what am I trying to say? Any
assessments?
Assessments, thank you. See? God.
Why is she defending her now? She's
yeah, she can't make any assessments until she's seen the research.
Roger.
Right now, she just gets to speculate, and that's what is so interesting about science. We can take something that we think we know, mm-hmm. and then we can study it, and we can experiment on it, and then we can find out that something just so interesting can occur.
Roger, how is it that when they disagree, they still agree? I don't get it. I don't get it, man. Do you know? You don't. Okay, I guess you don't know. We're gonna take a caller. Caller, what is your name and where you're from?
Hi, this is Sue Matthews from Bristol, Wisconsin.
Hi, Sue.
Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Welcome to Freak of the Week.
Well, thank you for having me. I am finding this conversation very interesting, and it explains a lot. I actually own.
Welcome to Freak of the Week, Sue. It's my show. I'll welcome you.
David, if you don't use your polite words, I have to do it for you.
Sue, welcome to Freak of the Week. I'm so interested. Tell me all about it.
Well, thank you all for having me. I actually own a townhouse in mm-hmm. Bristol, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I rent it out for the summers. It's very, very good for the Ren Faire goers.
What's a Ren Faire?
A Renaissance Faire. They reenact the Renaissance in this little village and dress up.
So they all get like the Black Plague?
Well, no, but I think some of them actually wear plague masks, you know, around there.
That's weird.
Yeah, you know, it's a thing here, though. It brings in a lot of tourism, and so we've had really good luck with that unit, renting it out, and having people stay there during that season. But
sure.
The winter months weren't as busy, but now, over the last few years, I'd say the last 5 years or so, we've had this influx of people. Mm-hmm. That have been renting mm-hmm. out this unit, and it starts, you know, in November, usually before Thanksgiving, and then they stay, and it's often the same tenant. It used to be these were shorter rentals for maybe a week or a weekend, and now we have people that are coming and just renting out the place until about May, I'd say, I'm getting my Ren Faire days mixed up, until about March, like the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And we find candy wrappers and Cheetos mm-hmm. wrappers and things in, I think they probably try to clean up, but yeah, there are definite signs, and it's just fascinating, this conversation. I wonder if we've had hibernators.
It sounds like you absolutely might have.
Yes.
I would love, 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 love to come and study your townhome.
Oh,
maybe
sure.
Just take some pictures, see if we can get some evidence. Because it sounds like which is so interesting.
Yes.
It sounds like that you have one of the migrating hives, which we found can sometimes be an actual group. Now, we know hibernators to be single beings, right? They're solitary creatures. They don't group up. They're not part of a pack, right? We've talked about that a little bit.
Yes.
But what's super interesting is that they will join for common cause. So, for example, if Wisconsin is the place that they need to be and they do need to migrate together, they are willing to share a van for 8 hours coming from a northern Canadian territory down to Wisconsin.
There's often a van from the tenants. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See? Oh, this is so interesting. This is so interesting. They sometimes, too, can manipulate a human being into helping them with some of these things. Because as they regress into the new species, and I say regress, which I don't like using, but what we're seeing from the DNA is much more primal Homo sapien than it is this evolved creature that
right.
we all know each other to be.
Sure.
You know, we will see some really kind-hearted people who are willing to drive vans and willing to help with rental agreements, things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Uber has been a lifesaver for the hibernators who might not have left a very cold basement and just died there.
Okay.
How do hibernators pay for their Uber if they don't have jobs?
That is also what's interesting. So not only can they potentially steal identities, let's talk about that for a minute. This is
they're stealing our identities.
They can.
Full background checks for the Airbnb. I know, but you know.
But you rent to one singular person?
I do.
Okay, so that's part of this. is that usually there is a hibernator benefactor. Sorry, there's a lot of syllables in that word. So interesting.
Hibernator benefactor.
Yeah, that's the word. Yeah. But what they can do is, because they have this collective pool and because their needs are so low, a hibernator group can live almost indefinitely because of the rate of compound interest.
Yes, we never get complaints from the other units, the surrounding units. They said they're very quiet.
Yeah.
We did have to install, you know, better internet service because over the years that's been an issue, but now we've got high-speed internet and, you know, the Wi-Fi within the unit, and so...
Do you have poop buckets in the unit?
I was going to say, do you have to charge them an extra cleaning deposit?
That only happened one summer. You know, the colony, so, or whatever they're called.
The Hive.
The Hive, thank you. The Hive must have left, you know. So, yes, we found some poop buckets and just so much rubble. Then we had to repaint, recarpet. But that was the only time. That's when I started doing the background check,
So there it is, poop buckets, Elizabeth.
I was curious with everything that, all of the information that has been presented to us, it seemed a little bit more like perhaps maybe the people that are renting your unit are maybe, shall we say, in the very early stages of hibernation.
It can be.
Based on what Elizabeth, I'm Elizabeth, I'm so sorry.
What are you, drunk? I'm the one that was drinking.
I had a couple sips of your Johnny Walker earlier. I'm so sorry. And
I didn't invite you to do that.
I know, but you know, you need people to taste all of your things or you won't drink it because you're afraid someone's going to put...
Roger already tried it for me.
Please don't get your praying mantis drunk. It's not good for him.
He volunteered. It was voluntary. I didn't force it on him.
You dipped his bee head in it.
He pointed at the glass and then at the bee head and then nodded at me. And so I took the little bee head, picked it up, and went, "You want this, Roger?" And Roger goes, "Yeah."
Well, of like course this. He took and it. Then, it was and then a I'm bee like, head. He doesn't it, know that it's it. Going to make him drunk. He tried to... He flew into the window. That's not good for him.
I told him not to do that. I didn't tell him to do that. I told him the opposite of that, Elizabeth.
You have to take care of him. It's very important that you take care of him.
I'm taking care of Roger. He's my best friend.
I know he is. He's your only friend.
He's my co-host. All right, thank you so much, Sue, for calling in.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, appearance-wise, these hibernators, you talked about worn-out blankets and stuff.
Yes.
If we were to come across one, how would we recognize it visually?
Well, that is where this gets difficult.
Okay.
Much to my dismay, we've only ever seen... A living hibernator six times. And unfortunately, we were not able to capture the photographic evidence of a living hibernator.
Okay.
So I can tell you from the necropsy what we know them to look like after death. So things that you're looking for. Incredibly matted hair around the head. Could be theirs, could be someone else's. We tend to see a lot of human hair and then what becomes hibernator hair, all stuck around the crown, stuck around the jawline, and sometimes around the neck. You're also looking for incredibly deep-set eyes. It's almost as though... It's almost like a beady eye would be.
Okay.
So much smaller so that the... Basically, all we're seeing is what would have been the human pupil left. The actual eyelid starts to enclose the eye. So there is still an opening that's still, you know, blinking. There's still, you know, lubrication going to the eye. But the actual eye hole is much smaller because the lens starts to deteriorate. And therefore, the lid becomes kind of... solidified with the bottom lid, the top lid and the bottom
Sounds
lid.
Sounds awful.
Well,
are you saying they begin to fuse together over the socket?
It's less of a fuse and more of a growth. It's incredibly interesting because what we've seen in like bed sores and things like that, you can see skin fuse, and we know what that looks like. This is almost as though there was a speed up, like the cells have decided that this is part of the natural growth, which is why we actually looked into the DNA in the first place, because we had noticed several somewhat human looking people, we were calling at the time, come in with very similar characteristics. And then once we noticed that this eye thing is very much a telltale sign, we were able to determine, no, these aren't people. These are the hibernators. And we were able to extract the DNA from not only the blood that was left, but the hair samples that were all over them. It was so interesting. You're also looking for we assume this is after death, but we believe that the actual physical body of a hibernator is slightly bloated. We haven't seen a lot of thin. We haven't seen a lot of bony. We see a lot of excess fat. We see a lot of additional layers. So even though humans have several layers of their epidermis, we see that hibernators have over 2,000 layers of skin.
That's a lot of skin.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that hibernators actually grow extra layers of epidermis?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what she's saying.
Yes, that is what
I'm saying. I just wanted to verify. I'm so sorry.
It's just to see this kind of change in DNA on something that is currently living, we've only been able to study in plants so far. It's so interesting.
Hmm. It's very interesting. All right, I think we have one last caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Lance, and I'd rather not say where I'm calling from, and I think you would understand.
I totally get that. In fact, I think that's a great answer, Lance.
Yeah, so here's my thing. I was listening to the story. I've been listening to you for a few months now, ever since your trailer caught on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was hired to clean out your trailer.
What?
That was my job. And ever since then, I've taken a liking to this show. But I do have to say that I'm kind of concerned. Because I found 5 buckets of poop in the remains of his trailer. And now everything that you're saying is matching up with this man that I've been listening to for months. This David Hickney.
Wait, are you saying that I'm a hibernator?
I'm saying you live in a basement. You wear poop-stained underwear often, and that there were poop buckets all over the remains of your trailer, sir. Oh,
David, I told you that keeping your own feces is disgusting, and that you needed
fertilizer.
To get rid of those.
Those were fertilizer. They weren't poop buckets. They were fertilizer buckets.
Well, can I just see your hand? Can I just see your hand real quick? I just want to see your. Can I just?
Afraid to find out.
Interesting. I'm sorry, caller. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go
no,
ahead.
I was just waiting in anticipation because I really believe that you have yourself a live hibernator.
I don't have 2,000 layers of skin. I don't have eyes.
But
growth things.
From the test I just did on your hand, I believe you might have 11.
That's more than a human.
Yep.
That is, humans only have 5 layers.
Wait,
for
so that's,
anyone that's wondering.
That's more human than human?
It is more skin than a human. Far less skin than a hibernator. But,
what does that mean?
But maybe it's evolutionary.
It could be. It could also be this gene that's been laid dormant. I mean, currently he's not showing any of the other signs. There hasn't been internet access at all when I walked in here.
No, I don't do the
My
internet.
My phone was
that,
taken
that
away
is true.
From me.
That is
yeah,
true.
You have to go upstairs.
But he does make this weird guy search the internet for him.
Jimmy, my
he
proxy.
Won't, he won't even do it himself.
No,
he
because then they'll find me. What the? This is insane.
Well, what I would like to do, if it's all right with you, and maybe if it's all right with Dr. Marin, I'll ask her permission. I would love to revisit you in like a year, because
why are you getting permission from her?
Well, because she's Dr. Elizabeth Marin. I mean, she's.
I'm also your legal guardian.
Why do you have to bring that up all the time? all the time with that.
And the benefactor of David Hickney, which is another sign. You said that.
That's true.
What is going on? Roger, what's going on
himself.
Here?
He can't support himself. David, have you ever taken an Uber?
What is an Uber?
It's a rideshare service. No, because that would require the use of a cell phone.
Yeah, I don't own one of those.
Have you ever gotten him an Uber, Dr. Barron?
I have tried to get him an Uber, but on the rare occasion that mm-hmm. I get him to actually leave the house, mm-hmm. he rides in my trunk. Oh, I've had to actually install
a closed circuit television. So you gotta be aware
trunk
of him.
Seat belt to keep him safe.
Yeah.
It's specially made. It's sort of strapped.
I got a little car seat for Roger to go right next to me. Yeah.
With your permission, I would love to take a sample because I believe that we are in the witness of the gene right now.
It's a missing link.
It could be everything that we've been looking for. The virus, possibly we can determine if it's a genome. I mean, this is legendary. This is groundbreaking. It's just so interesting.
True believers, I do not know what is going on right now. I can assure you, I am a person.
He is a person.
I am a human being.
That's exactly what a pre-hibernator would say. Oh my gosh.
Elizabeth, what is going on right now?
I mean, Dr. Bagginton is having a moment. I think she's seen your depression. She's seen the thick calluses on the palms of your hands, interpreted that as extra skin.
I can't believe
and,
I just lift a lot of heavy stuff.
It's
you know?
So interesting.
You do. And she's seen your back hair and interpreted that as fur, and I don't...
I just saw the couch dent!
Yeah.
Oh my god!
We're gonna have to flip that cushion.
Oh, soon. This is so interesting.
True believers, thanks for listening. Until next week, I'm David Hickney for Elizabeth Marin, Roger, and Dr. Samantha Bagginton.
Just hold still while I take your hair. Hang on.
No!
Let me just
no, it's got my DNA on it. No, no. No. We'll be back next week.
Take your vitamin D, kids.
Freak of the Week was created by me, David Hickney. Apparently, Elizabeth Marin is a character played by Amanda Davila. I don't know how that works. She's my sister. All of the experts and phone calls are performed by a cast of actors? What in the world? I don't know who Lindsay Chmielarski, Alan Morgan, Elizabeth Krahulik, and Patrick Harrington are, but we're going to have to go to Pound Town, for sure. The Freak of the Week theme was created by David Vox Mullen, artwork by Nick Mataragas. Freak of the Week was produced by Nick Mataragas and David Vox Mullen. Produced, yeah, okay. Freak of the Week is a Memoriam Development production distributed by the DVMPE.
Memoriam Development.